Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on this Wednesday, March 20th of 2019. Thank you. I want to thank everyone for joining this program, for joining me. Wherever you are, whatever device you are receiving this program from, I just want to thank you. And I know that God is very pleased with you for choosing to join this program tonight. And it's awesome. Now, in case you were wondering, spring started 1 hour ago. Finally, winter basically said, finally, brethren, I leave you. Finally, brethren. You know, Dr. Barclay said that, my pastor, Dr. Barclay, said that a few weeks ago when he was closing a sermon after he admitted that he had preached a long time. And I thought it was kind of funny because he said, finally there, brethren. And it was kind of funny. That's how I feel about winter leaving. Like, finally, brethren. Hope doesn't try to make a surprise return like it did last year in mid-April with that ice storm. That I was luckily able to escape from to go to that indoor amusement park event in Ohio just in time. Down at the IX Center. And to give you a heads up, I will be back this year as well. There will be some new rides. Tell you more about it as I find out about it. I suppose it's going to be new this year. But it's going to be a lot of fun down there in Cleveland, Ohio. I think I'm going to go to the event on the 13th. I got two hotel nights booked, the Friday night, the 12th, Saturday night, the 13th. So what is probably going to happen is I'm probably going to probably get there. I'm thinking a little bit late Friday evening. And then Saturday, I'll probably get up. I don't know if we'll go to a mall first or if we'll go ride the rides first. But we'll just have to wait and see. And then we'll be coming back to Michigan Sunday. Mind you, this is a few weeks away, but me, my nickname being the Thrill Rider, will be there in Cleveland at the IX Center for my first amusement midway of the season. I attended / went on rides at three carnivals. The previous year it was
2.
So last year I was at the Ajax Carnival that I rode rides at, the Midland County Fair. And no, actually, Ajax, Saginaw County Fair in Chesaning, and then Midland County Fair here, plus the Cedar Point visit. So really, 4 last year compared to 3 the year before. What am I thinking this year? IX is a go for sure. And then Midland County Fair, probably. I've been trying to get to Oakland the last couple of years, but I haven't gotten there with Big Rock. There was a couple things that were supposed to be, I felt like we're supposed to be in Saginaw. I mean, in Chesaning last year that weren't there. That I'm told that Big Rock has that were apparently in Oakland last year. So I forget what those are called, but I'll have to wait and see. And then I will likely be back at Cedar Point this year as well. And then there'll be some water stuff too. One of which is that I will be down in Frankenmuth in about 2 weeks at Zunder's Flash Village. And then obviously in the summer, I'll be at Waterford Oaks at least once. But then this year I'm also going to try to go to Red Oaks, which is a little bit down in the Detroit area. Waterford Oaks had a wonderful water slide, but unfortunately they have decided to remove it as it was at the end of its life cycle, and they decided it wouldn't be a good idea to rebuild it. I personally don't like that decision, honestly, but at least they still got the wave pool. But Red Oaks has a couple of different slides. And so...
You could have just put it in the backyard.
What?
Could have just put it in your backyard.
It can't fit in my backyard. No, I can't have that and a wave pool in my backyard.
Oh, bummer. Either or.
No, I want both. I want both. That's the thing, folks. I want both. Right there. And... So, we'll have to see. All right. I'm going to back it up. Back it up to tonight. I know, I got a little excited. Spring just started today, so kissing it goodbye. Trying to look forward. But we still got today to think about today's show and what have you. So, today, right now I am here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm northwest of an Admiral/Marathon gas station.
Say hi.
I'm northwest and southeast of a disability network. I'm in Michigan office. And yes, you're welcome to come in here to McDonald's and say hi to me if you happen to be driving around town. By all means, come in and say hi. It's not rude if you come in there and say hi to me, folks. I'm going to say hi to you. case. That's just how we roll. Because I do this 3 times a week, and whatever little bit of material I miss, most likely I can catch up on it next show. But I am here at McDonald's, and speaking of McDonald's, I wanted to remind you about the donut sticks. They're so delicious. They're like a little donut type thing with cinnamon sugar on them. Almost like mini elephant ears, if you want a comparison. They're very good. The only rough part is to me is that they're only available until 10:30 in the morning. And I do not like that well. I really don't. It is what it is. I wish they could just deliver it. Yeah, just deliver it, you know, like through the window. They just tap on the window. I open the window, you know.
Like Uber Eats, right?
Yeah, I'd be the guy to do that at, like, set an alarm for, like, 6:30 in the morning to get up, do the mobile order, have them deliver it right through the window, and then go back to sleep and then wake up in a bit. I would totally do that, folks, because yeah, it would totally be just like heaven. I'm told the reason they can't do them all day is because they have to switch the fryer over, which I'd be like, then why can't you have a separate thing for the donut sticks? Because I really think this should be an all day thing. At least until 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock.
Still 10 o'clock, you said, or
10:30, unfortunately. I think it should be like 12, 1, 2.
Breakfast all day.
Yeah. And when that Burger King opens in Great Lakes Crossing, folks, I want to be able to get those French toast sticks whenever I want it, even if it's like 7 at night. Because I like the French toast sticks, but in a way I kind of don't want to make a special stop for them, whereas at Great Lakes Crossing, their Burger King will be right there in the food court. And I just go right up there. Yes, it's on the other side from the side I usually sit on, but who cares? Because the side I usually sit on, folks, has like A&W, Subway, the American Cheese Place, Kirby's Coney Island, the restroom, and a Japanese and a Thai place. Whereas the other side is a pizza place, Rise Pies, Handcrafted Pizza, Panda Express, Charlie's Grilled Subs, Taco Bell, Coming Soon, and then Coming Soon, Burger King. So, and then kind of in the middle, they got a Starbucks. Quite honestly, I'd like to make that thing a McDonald's instead. Because then you could have the best of both worlds. Get your food from McDonald's and or go get the French toast sticks. Because those French toast sticks are really good at Burger King. You know, I'm big on tradition, and this is another tradition I'm going to reveal to you guys. When I was little, there were some mornings, you know, that we would have to get up very early to go down to Ann Arbor for a morning appointment. And sometimes on the way, my mom would run us through the Burger King, either on Eastman, because we lived out on Baker at the time, either the Eastman Road Burger King, or we would get on the freeway and drive for a little bit and then go to one of those Burger Kings. And I used to get some French toast sticks, hash browns, and orange juice. You know, there's something to be said about tradition. And to be honest with you, I'll have more memories of that than what I'll have of, like, the chicken tenders that they no longer have, or like the single cheeseburger or whatever burger that was I used to get when I was little with fries and a Sprite. They've changed the fries several different times. Have you realized that?
Yes. Burger King special.
I'm talking about Burger King.
I know.
I feel like Burger King's kept their breakfast menu more the same than what they have anything else. Don't you agree?
Wendy's, they changed their fries, too. McDonald's has kept theirs.
Kept theirs the same pretty much. And that's sort of why I love McDonald's so much, because they've stuck to, for the most part, the way they made it.
Although I think
when I was little.
Smaller than they used to be.
Not that much smaller, though. But, you know, when you eat the same things, you just have memories of it. And going down there. The sad times to me at that point were when I had to get up and go to Ann Arbor, but I couldn't eat anything. And it wasn't because, and it wasn't like, oh, by the way, you ate before you left the house. No. A couple of those times I could not eat anything because I had a surgery that morning. But I had been told that the night before, so I knew there were no French toast sticks. And I wonder what would have happened if I would have said, bribed my mom into taking me to Burger King to get the French toast sticks, even though I had the surgery. What do you think the surgery, what do you think the surgeon, by the way, his name is Dr. Buckman, what do you think Dr. Buckman would have said if I would have said, oh, by the way, Dr. Buckman, I forgot to tell you, we stopped at Burger King to get me some French toast sticks and hash browns and an orange juice on the way here to this appointment. What do you think Dr. Buckman would have said? What do you think, Doc? I just use that as an example because one of the times I can think of, that's who I would have. That's who I had the surgery with. And it was a surgery on the right side of my face. Whatever he said, we'll probably have to try tomorrow or something. Is that probably what he would have said? Probably would. Oh, I got that. You did that to try to make it sound like a doctor's voice, didn't you? You're like, and I would have been, and then I would have been like, and then I could just see my mom being like, well, guess who's not going back to Burger King to get no more French toast sticks? You aren't. And, yeah, the chicken tenders are pretty good, too, but I'm sad they don't have them. Remember the old ones from, like, the 1990s to the mid-2000s? I don't know why they didn't bring them back. The chicken fries are good, but in a way I miss the chicken tenders. And the nuggets don't compare to the old tenders they had. The old tenders were really juicy. And they were good.
I still think the McDonald's nuggets are the best.
I would have to agree. Unless I tried maybe Sonic or some other places. But other than that, for the most part, I would have to agree with you about it. Even back then, McDonald's was still my favorite, like, for lunch and dinner, but there was something to be said about going to Burger King to get some French toast sticks. Now, unfortunately, there's not as many Burger Kings near the freeways as there were back in the 90s. There are as many McDonald's, maybe a few more, but not as many Burger Kings. Isn't that odd? Yeah, like I can think of, like just between here and Ann Arbor, Bridgeport lost theirs, Birch Run lost theirs in a fire, sadly. One Flint exit lost theirs, another Flint exit lost theirs. No, one Flint exit lost theirs, the Mount Morris exit lost theirs, and I feel like one of them near 23 might have run out too. So, makes it a little bit harder to just run through there and get the French toast sticks that I'm probably making some people hungry for. No, I think they should have them all day. Okay, one of these days I'm going to take a vote. And then the next day I'm going to go get one or the other. You listeners are going to have to vote. Am I going to go get donut sticks? Or am I going to go get French toast sticks?
It would be cool if you get donuts.
If you don't mind, or just tell
me. What?
Toast sticks from one and then donut sticks from another and just keep going to all the different drive throughs and then you have everything all in front of you. Then you can actually put it to a test. And that's what you're
supposed to do. We'll have to wait and see on that, but We're gonna move on now, folks. So, let's just say, check out the donut sticks, or go try the French toast sticks from Burger King for yourself if you've never had them. Now, a more serious. First off, I hope that those of you with kids, if you can, if your district is on spring break next week, I hope some of you folks with kids get a chance to either go somewhere or just spend some quality time somewhere, somehow, doing something. Besides just a trip to the fast food place, I may add. Hopefully you get a chance to do something over your spring break. Okay, listeners, I want you to tell those that you know about this great radio program. We'll believe in God to grow this audience, double this audience this year. You can help us with that by telling others how they can be a part of this great radio program. They can go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you'll type in Upfront Entertainment. After you've typed Upfront Entertainment in, you'll see a link that says Living Large. After you click on that link, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. After that, you'll see a button that says follow button. You'll start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. Next week, Monday and Tuesday will be at 6:30 as scheduled. I don't know about Wednesday. I got a doctor's appointment downstate. I have to work around. I hope I can do a show some way, somehow. But we'll see. We'll just have to see. But praise God, you can follow the show and get notifications as we get ready to go live. And everything that we've done over the past, 270 shows, 280, it's 300 shows now. You'll get notified as we get ready to do our shows. Everything we've done, it's all archived. So you can go back there and take a look at everything we've done. All my football picks over the past couple of years. my basketball picks, all the word we've taught, everything we taught on Jesus and his birth, the stuff we taught on Easter last year, and the 2 weeks leading up to Easter, I will be dealing with Easter and the blood of Jesus and stuff of that nature again, just like I did last year. So that'll be pretty exciting. The only reason I haven't started that yet is because of how late Easter is this year. Now, last year, Easter was April 1st. This year, it's April 21st. So we're flexible and adjust the program accordingly so that it can be relevant at those certain times, like holidays of spiritual significance. Okay? Now, we have a phone number. I'm going to give that. Then we're going to go into prayer. Then we're going to open the Word of God. We have a telephone number for which you're able to call into this show. You're willing to talk about just about anything you want. You can ask for prayer. You can ask for encouragement. You can tell me why French toast sticks or donut sticks are better. sorry for that thing in my throat. But you can talk about why certain kinds of wood were used on the ark, maybe. Or we can talk about generally what we normally talk about, which is the Bible, sports, whatever else I'm up to. But we don't believe in talking about politics here on this program. There are a lot of good radio talk show hosts that I enjoy listening to, and they're good, solid shows. But we don't talk about politics here. We don't believe it. We'd like it can kind of divide some people. So we don't want to do that here on the show. But we'll talk about the Word of God, sports, and generally anything else that you'd like to discuss. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and then we hear the prompt that says to press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. And then you'll be asked, you know, John Fox, Miracle Man. And then I'll get notified that we have a caller. And then I'll let you on the air, and you'll be able to say what you wish. And hopefully we can get some great callers. All right, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show tonight. I thank you that these listeners have made the right decision to join this radio program tonight, wherever they may be here on this earth, whether they're at home, on their way to work, traveling, maybe going on spring break vacation, or maybe they don't have kids and they're just going to somewhere warmer maybe for a few days to warm up. Whatever they're doing, we don't care. What we care about is that they joined us to learn, yes, to hear about sports and what have you, but most importantly, to learn of you, to learn of your ways. And I just thank you that these people have ears to hear, hearts to understand, and that they'll remember what they're taught, and they will be doers of this word and not hearers only. And I thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight, and I hereby give you permission, Holy Spirit, to just come on this program and do whatever you will tonight, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I confess over this radio program right now that sponsors and partners come to the show, finances come to the show, increases in listenership come to the show, and most importantly, souls come to the show. People will come and they will give their lives to you listening to this radio program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right, 701, we didn't do too bad. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 29. 1 Samuel 29. And it's always a great joy every time I get to do this. Always. And I don't just say that like out of sarcasm or anything like that. I really mean it. Let me just see. We will be reading chapters 29 and 30 tonight. Praise God. The Philistines gathered all their forces at Aphek, and Israel camped by the spring in Jezreel. As the Philistine rulers marched out of the units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marching at the rear of Achish. The commanders of the Philistines asked, "What about these Hebrews?" Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year. And from the day he left Saul until now, I have found no fault in him." But the Philistine commanders were angry with him and said, "Send the man back so that he may return to the place you assigned him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will turn against us during the fighting. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the heads of our own men? Isn't this the David they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." So Achish called David and said to him, "As surely as the Lord lives, you have been reliable, and I would be pleased to have you serve with me in the army. From the day you came to me until now, I have found no fault in you, but the rulers do not approve of you. Turn back and go in peace. Do nothing to displease the Philistine rulers. But what have I done? Asked David. What have you found against your servant from the day I came to you until now? Why can't I go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? Achish answered, I know that you have been as pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said, he must not go up with us into battle. Now get up early, along with your master's servants who have come with you, and leave in the morning as soon as it is light. So David and his men got up early in the morning to go back to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Chapter 30. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off, and they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured at home with Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Zabal, with Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. David and the 600 men with him came to the Basar Ravine, where some stayed behind. For 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and some food to eat, part of a cake was with pressed figs, and two cakes of raisins. So they gave him cakes and raisins. You know what I would have gave him? Here's what I would have gave him. A Coke, a donut, a gift card to McDonald's, some biscuits and gravy, and some things like that to eat. That's what I would have gave him. Is that what you would have gave him? What are you giving him, a garlic burger?
No.
What? A cake with pressed figs and two cakes. We'll go back and say the menu again. He found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. Then they gave him water to drink, some food to eat, and food to eat. Part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate it and was revived, for he hadn't eaten any food nor had he drank any water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, "To whom do you belong, and where do you come from?" He said, "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev, the Kohathites, and the territory belonging to Judah and the Negev of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag." David asked him, "Can you lean me down to this raiding party?" He answered, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I'll take you down to them." He led David down there. And there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling, because their great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and the herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him, and who were left behind at the Behor Ravine. And they came out to meet David and the people with him. As David and his men approached, he greeted them. But all of the evil men, followers, said, "Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and his children and go." David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that of what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and handed over to us the forces that came against us. Who will live by what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share, and David made this a stature, an ordinance for Israel from the day, that day to this. When David arrived in Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends, saying, "Here is a present for you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies." He sent it to those who were in Bethel, Ramah, Negev, and Jethro. To this, an arrow Zephmon, Urtavi, and Rechav, these in the towns of the Jura, Melchants, and the Kenites. So this was Homer, Bo'amok, Akal, and Hebron, and of this in all the other places where David and his men had remained. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to begin with verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Let me just check something real quick. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God because anyone who comes to him must first admit, must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, you may think, Miracle Man, what does he mean earnestly? Well, here's what he means. Diligently. That means you seek his face. That means you follow his commandments. You keep them. You pray to God. You live your life the way God said, rather than just the way you want. That's what this means. Yep, that's exactly what God means by that. Yep. Because God wants it a certain way. Yes, he does. I didn't design it that way. We are going to go right back to where we have been. Verse 6. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6 now. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That means diligently, all the time. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that came by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, Abraham and obeyed, and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And this is very different from being in the car and me asking what road are we on. It's very different from that. Because when I do that and I say, what road are we on? That's just us being in the car and me just wanting to know where they are, where we are at the time. But Abraham, at that point, he didn't even know where he was going. No, he didn't. We're going to continue. A righteousness comes with faith. With faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. got to say you're going to go to, and here's your route. Here's what God could have said if it was invented yet. He could have said, okay, Abraham, here's where you're going to go. I got the directions on your I'm not going to tell you what it is. I got this iPhone with the GPS set to where you're going to go. Here's your directions. Look at the map. Da-da-da-da-da. Didn't work that way, did it? Besides that, there was no GPS yet at all. So he had no idea where he was going, even though Abraham did not know where he was going. Verse 9, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, wasn't able to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them. They welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Regard to their future.
So obviously, he really knew his voice.
He knew that God's voice. He knew it.
Obviously, otherwise he would have never even come close to him.
Now, verse 21. Now, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. No, not a human being like his. The shepherd's thing. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded the disgrace of the sin of Christ as of greater value. For the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. So through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed into. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses now of Chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on eating garlic burgers. Does it say that? Doesn't it say that? Yeah. Verse 2, doesn't it say let us fix our eyes on garlic burgers? Oh, no, it doesn't say that. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Come on, let me just check my clock. All right, 7:34, so we're doing okay. Sorry about that. I was going to try to set an alarm for a certain time, but apparently I can't talk to Siri while I'm on the phone. So, there goes that. I'll just try to manage the time so that I'll be able to have time to sing something too, because... Okay. Let's discuss this. God, he was with David. Because those people had told David, you and your men need to wake up in the morning and get up out of here. They awoke. And they left, as they had been instructed. But then they went down to Ziklag, which is where David had been living for a little while there. And when he got down there, apparently McDonald's ran out of something. What did they run out of? But newsflash. But anyhow, the McDonald's running out of something doesn't matter. What matters is this message. And what happened to the, it was David and all those men, they get down there to Ziklag, they find it totally destroyed. And none of them, nobody had died in the Ziklag fire. Everyone had been kind of scattered. And David went down there. You know, he prayed to God for a while, to the point, I mean, he was weeping, and he got to the point where he was so tired he couldn't weep anymore. And then he ended up praying to God, asking, you know, should we go down there and try to get that stuff back? He said, go on down. He said, go on down. He went down there to that camp. Both of those wives that David had and everything else that was David, he got it all back. You know, if something happens, you just got to take authority. You got to go to that enemy's camp and take back what Satan stole from you. Some of you who have lost some things. Oh, by the way, I'm not just talking about losing a key, losing a wallet, losing a brother. I mean, I'm not just talking about losing a key or a wallet or something. I'm talking about losing people. You know, to the world, whatever. You got to take authority over your stuff. When you see that stuff is missing, or you know your son's a prodigal again, you got to take authority over that. And you got to use that, some faith. And I take back what the devil stole from me. The devil has to give back 7 times what was stolen. 7 times what was stolen. And the devil is under my feet. I don't just say, oh, they can just say, oh, miracle man, it's just a little cliche, the devil's under my feet. But do you really mean it? Yes, I mean it. He is under our feet. He's under our feet. And you can't be letting him just come in there and mess with you. You can't give place to him. You got to take authority. You got to kick him out of your house. You need to go home, open that door, and kick the devil out of your house. Because he cannot have it. And that is a very good analogy because they were able to, David was able to get back everything he had lost. And in the process, he was able to help a man who hadn't eaten anything or drank any water for 3 days and was near death. Because he had had nothing by mouth for 3 days, which is very, very dangerous. It's a dangerous spot to be in when you're like that. To have nothing by mouth for three whole days. But God was with David. God gave him permission to go down there and get that stuff. What if he had just stayed there with that other group and not went back to the Philistines? And not obeyed those people that said, get up in the morning and go. He wouldn't have got his wives back, I can guarantee it. I can guarantee, just about guarantee you, he wouldn't get his wives back. That's why you got to be obedient to God. And let's talk about, we read in Hebrews 11 tonight about faith. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what we do not see. In the natural, I'm believing for my eyesight to be made known and seen and noted, and for me to know that I see. But by faith, guess what? I do see by faith. I do see. Faith is calling those things that are not as though they are. And I'm going to leave you with that because you want to pray really quick. God wants me to pray for those who are in the hospitals. So I'm going to do that. Lord, thank you for this message. Thank you that we get this in our minds. Thank you that you help us get back our stuff. Regardless of what it is, if it's your will, God, for us to have it, we're getting it back. We're taking it back. We're going to that enemy's camp and we're taking back what the devil stole from us. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will be doers of this word and not hearers only. And Lord, I take a minute right now to pray over everyone that we know of that is in the hospital right now. I know, Lord, one of my helpers, Cassidy, her grandma, she had to go in there and take her grandma into the hospital. Lord, and thank you that everything just comes out good and she can go home, because you, God, are the healer. You're the healer. You know what's wrong. You're the ultimate doctor. Thank you that you'd reveal to doctors for people that are in the hospital. You'd be able to reveal what it is, particularly if the doctor says, you know, I can't really seem to figure out what's wrong. And you'll be able to just show them everything. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just check my clock real quick. Okay. So, here. My foes are many. They rise against me, but I will hold my brow. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. Trouble surrounding, chaos abounding, but I will trust in You. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Man, thank You, Jesus. You are where our help comes from. And folks, that's something to think about when you're going through some stuff, that our help always comes from the Lord. Always, 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 always. Come on. Now, for some sports. We have a lot of sports stuff going on. In baseball news, it looks like, I don't know if you heard this news, Chuck, but it looks like Michael Fulmer is going to be done for the year.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Looks like he's probably going to need Tommy John surgery. Apparently he ruptured something in a game the other day, so it looks like we'll be minus Michael Fulmer.
Oh,
I think we need to make a deal quick for a starter for the regular season, don't you think?
Do something.
We got to make a deal. Quick. Get him trained. Get him there. We got to do something. Because he was supposed to be like our savior. He was supposed to be our next JV. Remember?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be our next JV. I think they signed him new and that eventually they were going to trade JV. They trade JV. And then Verlander doesn't do quite everything he's supposed to. And now he's hurt. And it's probably going to sit out all year long. So I'm hoping the Tigers can get something done really quick. And I got to keep moving really quick, otherwise I'll run out of time before I get to everything I want to get to. So, Red Wings win two games in a row for the first time in a bit over a month. They beat the Rangers last night, 3-2. Pistons currently tied with the Nets for the sixth place spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Right now, if the playoffs started today, it would be a tie. Next game for the Pistons is tomorrow night against the Suns out in Phoenix, Arizona. And now, da 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 Victory for MSU. I don't know why I did that. No, folks, I was not biased. I forgot to cut off the MSU one. I cut off the Michigan, but not the MSU. I repent for that, folks. I'm sorry. I won't do that next time. However, tomorrow, it goes down. The big round of the NCAA 64 teams starts off tomorrow. Reminders, your one seeds are West Gonzaga, Central Virginia, South North Carolina, East Duke. Michigan State is in the Eastern Division as the two seed. Michigan is in the West region as a two seed. Mind you, both of these are in Iowa. Both of these games. Michigan plays Montana tomorrow at 9 p.m. You'll be able to listen to it on 790 a.m. or on the TuneIn app tomorrow night. I'll be listening to it right after church. And does Michigan have what it takes to take down Montana? I don't know too much about Montana, but I am expecting a win. Give me one again, 78. Mount Hannah, Montana, 64. So once again, that's one again, 78. Hannah, Montana, 64. Michigan State versus Bradley. This one is tomorrow at 2:45. You can listen to it live on ESPN 100.9 FM, beginning at 2:45. This is also in Iowa, as is the Michigan game. Does Michigan State have what it takes to continue? I know they're banged up, but look at how far they've came, even though they've missed some of their best players for a while. I think you can expect both teams to make the Sweet 16. I expect to come here Monday talking about Michigan and Michigan State still being alive for the next weekend. Do you think it's likely that'll happen? I would say if there's tension, I would say it's an 8 out of 10. We'll say that Michigan and Michigan State will both be alive, being how good both have done. So, you know, if you take out Michigan, the Michigan State games, I think Michigan would be better, but only slightly. Is that a good way to put it? If you take that, what I'm doing here is taking the three Michigan State losses, the times Michigan lost to Michigan State, out of the equation.
Yeah. But Michigan State winning, that makes it so much better.
I'm just saying, like, making it as if those Michigan State games never happened.
Yeah.
then Michigan would have been slightly better, right? But only slightly.
Very slightly.
Kind of like how Michigan State is only a sliver better, even though they beat Michigan three times. So, I mean, it's so tight. Like, I have my hand inside of this to kind of illustrate. Like, that's kind of how tight Michigan and State are right now. Basically, huh? Squeaky tight. You could have had one of these games in three overtimes, I bet you. I bet you could have had one of those three games in triple overtime.
Yeah.
Awesome. You could have had that, but we didn't. Do I think you'll see a one seed fall to a number 16 seed again this year? Possible, but I doubt it. I do expect that there will be some upsets. I think there are a lot of teams that are really close to others, so I do think there could be some upsets this year, possibly some double digits. I could see a 4 seed losing, maybe a 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, maybe a 5 or 6, maybe even a 3 seed lose. But I'll let you know on Monday what's all been going on. On Monday, we will be having... I'm going to do what I did at football season and kind of set an alarm to start breaking this all down for you at a certain time. I think it'll be, we'll do like 7:25 maybe. We'll start a special March Madness show. And we'll be talking about what all happened this weekend. Not only with Michigan and Michigan State, but with the other teams. What were the surprising upsets? So we'll talk about that. Hey, Psalm 91 to everybody. Pray that you're safe and sound. No evil shall befall us. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. For you have given your angels, Lord, charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sure love you, folks. And until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.